Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also, please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Getting Savvy. This is episode 12. I'm Catherine Murray, your finance person, Wall Street veteran or professional, I should say, and a business news anchor for over, 13 years or so, something like that. So a lot of experience, I hope, to share with you, Melissa, Dr. Melissa Hirschberg.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Hirschberg, medical physician in practice for almost 20 years now, mostly in preventative health and concierge health. Also weight loss expert. I've written two books on diet and nutrition, the Hirschberg Diet and the Rebel Diet, and have a weight loss program now based off the Good Diet Plan that uses all these new exciting medications we're going to talk about. And aesthetic medicine injector. So
everything to hopefully all of us can get savvier in finance and health and beauty.
Absolutely.
It was interesting when you just said, you know, the diet books that you have written, and now you're almost, and you're seeing this with various doctors, incorporating GLP-1s. I was almost thinking in some ways, as you said, your diet books, I'm like, Are they relevant today? Not saying yours, but diet books in general. And then also, diet programs. How relevant is it to incorporate all of the traditional ways to be healthy as it relates to your weight with these seem to be miracle GLP-1s? We're starting with GLP-1s once again, but I just wanted to pick it up there.
Yeah, well, they've dominated health news for the past year, and they've also been really big in the market. So it's been really relevant in health, wealth, and beauty as well, because we're seeing so many people using it, not necessarily for diabetes and true obesity, but also just for looking better, shedding that 10, 20 pounds they have never been able to get off. So finally, these drugs are a miracle. And the diet advice is still sound. Everything I recommended 15 years ago, I'm still recommending today. It's just that these medications help people with the willpower to actually be able to follow the advice. Most people know what to do. They know what's healthy. They know what they should be eating. Problem is the execution of being able to stop and being able to fight your own food noise or hunger pains. And that's what these medications have really helped people to be able to do.
Yeah. What's been interesting as well that we've covered over the past number of episodes is that there really is a plateau in terms of how much weight loss you will lose on these various drugs, which I think is interesting because it does still incentivize you to change your lifestyle a bit, just to be more cognizant. I think it's actually the best of both worlds.
Well, and that's what we're going to talk about today in terms of the plateau. So it looks like, Novo Nordisk's big drug, Ozempic, when it's branded for diabetes, but also known as Wegovy, when it's branded for weight loss, seems to be able to give people about 22% weight loss. And they've been working on a trial of a new version of the drug. So Wegovy and Ozempic are what we call GLP-1 agonists. Okay. So what they did is they found a new drug that they added another molecule to it that will further help reduce appetite. So they were hoping they could get even further weight loss. They were hoping for more than 25%. And unfortunately, they didn't hit that mark. It still did extremely well. And it was still did in keeping with Zepbound, which is currently the best. I mean, remember we talked about last week, the trial that was between Zepbound and Wegovy, and Zepbound did better. But it didn't get that 25% that they were hoping for. And so as a result, the stock dropped 20% today, which is like wild, and which is so relevant to us because we've been talking about when we're going to jump in. Like, I don't own any of the GLP stocks. I don't own Lilly. I don't own Novo Nordisk. So the question is today the day?
Right. Okay.
Bye.
Well, and I don't have
Right?
an answer for you, by the way, but interestingly, prior to this happening, I was actually looking at a report from a big investment bank in the United States as it relates to the pharmaceutical stocks, and how and the report points out how they've really underperformed the broader market. So even just before today's news, the group biotech or biopharma was really looking interesting to me, let alone what we might see today. So there's going to be a lot of various analysts putting out their reports this weekend, digesting the news, doing channel checks, just making sure everything is, crossing the T's, dotting the I's as it relates to the pipeline as well. Because one of the reasons why these pharma companies haven't done as well this year is because there is concern about their what's called patent cliffs. So their patents expiring. So that's called a patent cliff. And you have to dovetail that when you look at a pharma company with their innovation and what is coming on and what can help compensate for the patent cliffs. So I think all of that's going to be really reworked today, this weekend, from the various Wall Street analysts. Wall Street analysts cover a certain area of the market. So you'll have a pharma analyst, an energy analyst, a retail analyst. And you let them do all the, real digging. I used to do this for a living. And all you do is focus on one area of the market. So let's see what comes out on Monday or over the weekend. I'll look and we can discuss that next weekend. But I don't know, maybe, but I can guarantee you there were definitely people in the market who would just say down 20%, way overreaction, and they would be buying today, Melissa, versus waiting for Monday.
That's what I'm saying. I think today's the day.
Then you should buy it. It is
I
down.
do. I think I'm going to. I mean, I think it's a way overreaction. I mean, the reality is, Ozempic in my practice is still, even though, Zepbound or that's the same drug as Mounjaro, tirzepatide, people do lose slightly more weight than Wegovy and Ozempic. Ozempic has such brand name recognition. When you talk about these drugs, you talk about Ozempic. You hear that jingle like, oh, Ozempic. And when you see a celebrity, you think they're on Ozempic. You don't say they're on Zempic. Like, I think it still has that brand recognition. And the reality is, a lot of the people using these drugs don't need to lose 25%. A lot of this market share, I think, is from people who are really happy with 20 pounds weight loss or whatever it may be,
Interesting. So Melissa, so it's trading right now at 85.65. And for everybody to be aware, this is an international company, Novo Nordisk. So it trades in New York using an ADR, which is an American Depository Receipt. That just means you're able to use US monies buying a international company. We actually have something here in Canada. I'll bring that up next time, called CDARS. So you can buy US companies with your Canadian dollar. So that might be something of interest too. But nonetheless, it is trading at 85.67, down 17% on this news. That's a huge move, just for everybody to be aware, for a massive company, for a pharmaceutical company. But it does tell you the power of these, FDA trials for biotech and pharmaceutical companies to have that much of a move.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was hoping to be a blockbuster. It was hoping to like knock it out of the park. And I don't think it performed as well as they hoped it would. But I still think it's a great company. And I still think, and I also was wondering, like, I think I read that Wegovy, these are still on patent. And I mean, obviously look this up because I don't know, but I think to like 2030. So that's still a long time. That's a long time for people to, and I think we're seeing more and more. It's almost becoming so mainstream. Like I'm almost feeling like it's becoming a little bit like Botox. That people use it. Yes, I mean, unlike, but sure, Botox has health benefits too for certain people for certain conditions like migraine or spasticity and those sorts of things. But by and large, people are using it to look better. And I think a lot of the people that are using the GLP-1 agonist drugs also are using it to look better. And feel. Yeah.
And feel better. And just so everybody knows, when you look at the market and when something is negative news for one company, sometimes it can take down the whole sector, or sometimes it helps other stocks. So as an example, Eli Lilly is up almost 2% on the news. So thinking that that company will take market share away from Novo Nordisk. So just so people understand, that's how the market moves, right?
And interestingly, I think we saw something we were talking about. Eli Lilly has a trial going on for an oral version of this medication. I can't remember if it was as positive as they hoped the drug would perform. I didn't look at that trial. But again, there's a lot of people that don't take these medications because they're scared of needles and they don't want to
Right.
injure themselves. But the oral medication can be effective, and it's I think that's, we have an oral version of Ozempic, which is also semaglutide, called Rybelsus. And I do have a few patients on it for weight loss that don't want to, inject themselves. And it works. Now, does it work as well as the injection? No, but it still
Oh,
works.
interesting. Okay. Well, all right, let's move on from one of our top topics, which is GLP. But it dovetails into the stocks. And so yeah, I think you're right. It's probably a great opportunity. But I am gonna do a little bit more homework. But for you know, it's 2:30, we film this on a Friday, the market's closed at 4. You can easily go and
I
buy
gotta dive in. I'm going to after we
it.
get off.
Speaking of the markets, my goodness, in many, many ways, you know, sitting here in Canada, we could have and should have started off with the biggest news that I think everybody is aware of, but I want to dig into it a little bit so that people understand the meaning and the importance, which of course is, it's twofold, but the fall economic update from our Canadian federal government was provided on Monday of this week, and two things happened, of course. One, it's not the fall. Why is it so late? Big issue. Number two is the Finance Minister, Chrystia Freeland, who's also the Deputy Prime Minister, resigned prior to the release of the fall economic update, which should be astonishing given she is the one who's supposed to deliver it. And apparently, the reason for her resigning is because she and Prime Minister Trudeau had disagreements as it relates to their fiscal policy plans. And in particular, it seems as though she did not agree with the $250 checks going to Canadians and thought that that was just political gimmicks, which I think everybody agrees. So that was one of the big issues, apparently, that they disagreed over. But from a market, there's a lot of things here. One, let's talk about the deficit as well. The deficit came in at 61, call it $62 billion. The plan was for 40 billion or under. So the deficit, our debt here in Canada, was 50% higher than they had planned. You need to sit back and say, did we get 50% more in our lifestyle, in our policing of all of the vandalism that's taking place and feeling safety? Did we get 50% more as it relates to housing affordability or food costs? No. So where did that money go? And there are many places it went, and it did not go into Canada. That's a whole nother topic. But the reason why this is so important is because the deficit is basically, and people are concerned, like, what matters, the deficit or the debt? Both. Deficit, think of that on a yearly basis. So if you have $100 to spend, or $100 is what you're earning, and you spend 110, you are in a $10 deficit for your own household. So that's the deficit. The country's debt, the federal debt, is the accumulation of years of deficits and or surpluses. But we have been in a deficit for many, many years since Trudeau took over. We were in a surplus prior to that. So all of these deficits over all of these years have now accumulated to a debt, a federal Canadian debt of $1.3 trillion. And when you think about Canada, not much comes across with $1 trillion. We're just not that large, right? We're the size of California. So when you start using trillions, unless it's about growth, it's not good. And I want to just point out the Canadian dollar dropped almost, I want to say it was by about a whole percentage point, which is massive on the back of this. It's down by about 3% just for this week alone, and the market also declined. There's other reasons for this as well. The US Federal Reserve was more hawkish. They did lower rates this week by 25 basis points or 0.25%. And they also indicated that next year they might not need to lower the rates as much. But given our weak economy, less than 1% growth, given the chaos, we are being looked at as having complete chaos in Ottawa, that there's so much concern about our economy that also weakens the dollar. So there's a number of reasons. It's the deficit, It's the chaos. It's the U.S. Federal Reserve being a little bit more hawkish. A lot of different reasons as to why our dollar is weaker.
So when Trump jokes that Canada is going to be the 51st state, he's basically saying, Canada, you're bankrupt. Let us acquire you.
Maybe.
Or, you know, something like,
well, what's the price, like, by the way? I don't even know about that, Melissa. He didn't even offer a price, now did he?
Well, I don't know how that would work, right? I don't think they're going to war with us to acquire us.
No, I don't think it's happening. We are a sovereign nation.
Yes. But I'm just saying, when he says it like that, it just makes us, you know, it's, yeah. Like, if this was a marriage and that was your partner, and that partner was running a deficit every year and spending and spending and spending, you might want to break up with that partner.
Fair point. That's a great analogy.
Yeah. Number one cause of divorce is financial.
Yeah.
You know, and so this is a big problem. And I think that's why so many people are calling for Trudeau to resign.
Right. Well, and it's interesting to your point about divorce. It's almost as though Chrystia Freeland wanted a divorce.
Yeah.
And to remove herself from Trudeau and the political gimmicks. However, she was the finance minister. She is the one who, in conjunction with him, decided to place capital gains taxes. She is also the one who has said, why don't you just give a little bit more of your money so we can go spend money that doesn't obviously come back to the Canadian people? Look at everyone.
So do you think that he's going to use her as like a scapegoat and saying forced her to resign, that she was the problem, not him?
I don't know. I he's always been very clear that he doesn't care about balancing the books. He literally said only a couple of weeks ago, let the bankers take care of that. We don't have investment bankers running the country. If we did, I think we might be in a better shape. So he's also said historically in the past, he doesn't care about monetary policy. Like, it is his job to do that. So, you know, whether he wanted to remove himself from what she and he created is, I almost think it's too, I don't even think that's it. I think it was someone who disagreed with them. And if you look at all the women who have worked for him, who he demoted and therefore they resigned, Jody Wilson-Raybould, Philpott, there are so many, and including Chrystia Freeland, you can't disagree with the man and keep your job. I mean, that's the, and now it's so interesting is all these women are coming out and being like the former MPs that have left his cabinet are being very vocal about it. I don't even have to say it. You can just look at it everywhere. So, you know, should she, you know, is it her responsibility? Yes. Is it his responsibility? Yes. And I think maybe she just, I don't know if she wanted to leave, you know, probably not.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, from a market perspective, Melissa, like what comes to your head when you think about the markets, the economy as it relates to this? Like, do you have any questions?
Well, it makes me worry about Canada and our economy here and being too invested heavily in the Canadian broader market versus the American. And I think about what sectors in Canada might still be good and profitable that can us come out of this and how we can come out of this. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think those are great comments, right? When you look back, a couple of things, and this is what I've been thinking of, which is I haven't been that excited to be in the Canadian market. And you can see that as it relates, you can see that broadly speaking, like, there's not a lot of international money that comes into our markets over the past number of years. Even our pension funds, you know, invest outside of Canada. Now, obviously that's for diversification, but if it was such a go-go growth place, you might also want to put more of your weighting towards Canada. So, and most people in Canada, all their weighting is towards Canada, which is very difficult, right? Because to buy in the United States, you need US dollars to buy their stocks. However, as we've talked about, there are ETFs, exchange traded funds that represent the US markets that you can buy using Canadian dollars. So I think that's important. The other important aspect, of course, is that you can also buy, and I'm only just looking into this, the CDARS, so Canadian Depository Receipts. So it's basically the bank creates a vehicle that goes out and essentially buys the US stocks turns it into a unit of some sort that you can buy using your Canadian dollars. Again, I'm just looking into this now because I do have Canadian dollars, and yeah. I don't know that I'm that excited about the Canadian market, but I am doing homework on a few different stocks in the Canadian market. And then I would also just say, Melissa, that, yeah, is it a tough storm to weather right now? Yes. If we do get a change in federal leadership, like we always talk about, the markets are a forward-looking mechanism. In other words, they could start to perform better if they think we've got a change in leadership at the top.
Yeah.
So if that's the case too, you have to think, okay, well, if Pierre Poilievre comes in, mm-hmm. what sectors are going to do well from a really pro-growth approach? So you almost have to look at it from a short-term perspective as we look at the markets. How do I want to protect myself here? This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then what might work really well if he becomes the leader? So it's not all bad. That's what I'm saying. So.
No. And I think you have to look at what we have that's good in Canada, right? We've got oil, energy, mm-hmm. uranium.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we've got a good banking system.
Mm-hmm.
So correct. Those are always the areas that I sort of, you know, and I really like Shopify, and I've always told you that.
Right. That's right.
Good company. Yeah.
Good company. So that's some, I think that's, you know, what we have to think about it right now, right? The Canadian dollar is going to be under pressure because of this chaos and the deficit. And again, deficit is, you know, your yearly accumulation of debt versus a surplus. And then it accumulates over all the years, and that's your country's debt. And one,
you know how ours compares to the US's?
Well, we're such different scale. I did write it down. So there's no comparison in a scale perspective.
Right. But aren't they always complaining too that they have massive debt problem?
Massive debt. I want to say $36 trillion. That's their debt. But you can't compare.
So. No, I know. But I think the same discussions are happening here as they're happening there.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Too much spending. And that's where, you know, President-elect Trump and Elon Musk, they want to
print money. I might just, like, think about if your household could print money, you might just keep, I can see how people get into debt when it's easy to print money, when it's easy to borrow, you can see how people get into debt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? Okay, moving on. We're going to talk about, are you going to talk about the bird flu?
Oh my gosh.
Do we need to? Is it serious?
Well, I think California has declared a state of emergency this week because, I mean, we had that one case here in BC of the teenager who ended up hospitalized quite sick with H5N1 bird flu. And they've had a similar person in the US that's hospitalized with the same strain. And I think it's infecting a lot of poultry. And the problem is, and so not poultry, but a lot of like birds are infected. And I think the problem is now that they're having to get rid of so many. And then people, the farmers, people that work close with the animals are more likely to get sick. And also domestic pets, because domestic pets go and eat, you know, they go and hunt birds and everything in the backyard, and they could get sick. And then that could, the worry is that that's a way for it to transfer to humans, because the only reason a human's really going to get this H5N1 from birds or dairy cattle or poultry is if they come into contact with the actual sick animal and it transfers to them, or if they have unpasteurized milk or dairy, which is not legal, and which is not, you can't get that in North America. So it's less likely of a chance, but if it jumps to us through pets, then we could get, so they're sort of watching it and monitoring it, hoping this doesn't become, you know, they're monitoring it for pandemic, like, so it doesn't cause us.
Is there anything that we can do to help ourselves, or if you do get it, what do you do?
So don't go near dead birds or chickens or anything on the street. Like, obviously, if you work in that industry, wear protective equipment and don't have unpasteurized raw milk, dairy. And well,
I was hearing as well, because we wanted to do dinner, that it's really tough. I think it's tough to get duck right now.
It's tough
to get pheasant.
Is that why? It might be because they've had to kill off a lot of their,
But when you get it, what do you do? And what do you feel like when you get it? Do you know?
Well, you can get really sick. This person that got this H5N1, I think most of the time we don't know, right? Because someone could come in contact with it and they would never know if it was any different than unless they ended up in a hospital. So we only really know of the hospitalized cases, but they're there and they test for it and we see the very sick cases. But
on their eyes.
Monitor yourself. And if you're feeling really unwell, go to the hospital.
Okay.
Yeah.
One other thing that I think you wanted to bring up, which is interesting, because I was actually looking at this. There's a healthcare company, well, it's beauty, I guess, that are, you know, they have different vitamins for your hair, for hair growth. And I went on their website. I won't say the name, but I went on the website, and then there's some kind of supplement. I should have given you the name ahead of time. But then they also have like
minoxidil.
Yeah. Minoxidil pills.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's Rogaine, but you can take a pill instead of putting it on your head. But correct. I don't know that I want to take that pill.
Well, so it's interesting. So there was an article that came out today about babies, infants that came in contact with a parent who was using it locally, the Rogaine, and it got on their skin. And because they're so small, there was systemic absorption. And what happened was they didn't just grow hair where they came in contact with it. They grew hair, it's called hypertrichosis, all over their body. In other words, when you take systemic minoxidil, meaning instead of just putting the Rogaine topically on your scalp or where you want it.
Yeah.
If you take it orally, what could happen is, yes, it could help with hair growth, but it might grow hair other places that you don't want it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and also it's a blood pressure pill, so it can lower your blood pressure.
Oh.
Yeah. So it could make you feel dizzy. But I was actually thinking about that. Like, we don't often use minoxidil as a blood pressure pill. It's not one we choose, even though it does lower blood pressure. But if I have a man who's,
I know where you're going.
Going through male pattern baldness, and he's already taking Propecia, which is the 1 milligram version of Proscar, which is a prostate medication that lowers their dihydro and testosterone and therefore helps with hair loss. Why wouldn't I give them oral minoxidil? A man doesn't care if he grows hair on his body.
Right.
No. I don't know. I don't know. We don't use it. They use it topically. Maybe it's just because it topically works well. And so, but I think it would be foam and messy, and it's just much easier to take a pill. I know a few women who are on it. I haven't followed up to see how it's going, but there's some increased prescriptions for it for sure.
Is there more and more people are using it? But what are the side effects, Melissa?
So hair growth.
Okay.
Or in places that you might not necessarily want it. And it could be lightheadedness, dizziness, and lowered blood pressure.
Is that it? Like, that doesn't sound that bad.
Not that bad. I mean, I think it'd be worth, there's a lot of people that are trying and experimenting with it.
But I guess the fact that the baby grew hair all over their body, was the parent or whoever it was, were they taking it topically or orally?
Topically.
Topically.
So the parent was taking it topically and holding the baby, and somehow the baby was coming in contact with the gel or the cream, or, you know, it was getting on them and absorbing into their skin.
That just sounds like such a powerful drug, Melissa, like frightening.
Well, also the, you know, when it's on a 12 pound infant, things are going to seem a lot more powerful.
Right.
You know,
not a 240 pound man.
Yeah.
If I drop some Rogaine on somebody.
Yeah. I mean, I remember my dad, you know, I remember when I was young, I remember him putting the thing on his head.
Yeah.
I have that just brought back this memory.
That image.
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
Well, it's pretty bold. Did I? Or maybe he just gave up, stopped caring.
Because you have to keep doing it. That's the problem with all this stuff, right?
Well, right now I'm actually using Latisse. So I, I don't know if it was the mascara that I was using or the eyelash curler, but I was starting to like really notice that my eyelashes were really thinning. And I don't want to get eyelash extension. I know a lot of people do lash extensions. It's like a big business or false eyelashes. And I just not ready for that kind of commitment yet, you know? Like it's already a lot of time ha like with your hair and your nails and everything. So I thought, okay, I'm going to use the Latisse. So I've been using it for about 3 weeks. And you just put it on the eyelid margin and it's working. My eyelashes look great. But stop using it, then I'm sure they'll go back to the way they were.
Yeah, it's a lot of process going on here.
Yes.
A lot of process. I just want to mention as well, switching focus to the markets for a moment, just to kind of recap, because I normally do that at the top. The Canadian market, the TSX, is on track for a 3% weekly decline. So again, we saw it hit the Canadian dollar, also hit the broader market period. Like it's the story is not strong. The US market, I would say, did wobble quite a bit this week. Again, concerns with respect to the Fed lowering rates, but saying next year we might not need to lower rates as much. So a little bit more what's called in the market hawkish. It's called hawkish versus dovish. And so that was a bit of an issue for those US markets. But the US economy does appear to be strong. The US GDP came in better than expected. Inflation may be a little bit higher as well, but some of the other economic data points, like existing home sales, did better than expected. So the US economy seems to be on a pretty good, steady path. And then, what we see the Trump administration do next year is another matter, and particularly with respect to tariffs and how that can impact their market, right?
So I know the market had its like worst day in how long? A couple of days ago, wasn't it? It's like a worst day in the past year. I don't know. It was really bad. I had a busy day that day, fortunately, so I didn't really pay much attention. But it does get me thinking a lot more about if you're worried that the market's been going up and up and up and can't sustain itself and we're on the verge of a correction, do I want to rebalance? Do I want to think about taking some profits and maybe investing in something safer like bonds? And I know we've talked about bonds before, and it's an area that I don't understand. I mean, I understand it theoretically, but it's something that I don't understand quite as well as buying and selling companies that you see all around, right? So I thought that that could be a good idea to talk about something that you're thinking about with your portfolio or, yeah.
Well, so for my program, my television program on the news forum, which is called The Buck Stops Here with Catherine Murray, I interviewed a couple of people over the past 2 weeks, just ahead of the holidays. And it was really interesting. Someone said to me, when you really take out what's called the Mag 7 or the top 7 companies, top 10 companies in the United States, which are Amazon, Apple, Google, Tesla, in terms of the highest valuation, the highest valuations. And you remove those out of the market multiple, the overall market multiple, which maybe stands at about 23 times. The rest of the companies in the S&P 500, so call it 490 companies, have not performed that well or nearly as well. And the valuations aren't nearly as high. Those valuations are around 18, 19 times. All to say, I think that there's a lot of opportunities within the market. If you have one of those high-flying stocks that I do, I still haven't sold my Tesla. Should I take some profit? I probably shouldn't. I just, quite frankly, it's bad I haven't gotten around to it this week because I'm not worried. If I was worried, I would. And to your point about the market being down earlier in the week, yes. But guess what? When the fundamentals are strong, and they are, because you can look at that at the economic data points, I'm talking about the US markets. The market has rebounded and we're rallying today. So that's why I don't get too worried. To your point, you were busy on Monday. I'm like, yeah, it was down, whatever.
Yeah.
It's an important aspect. You always have to think about what's the actual trajectory of the economy and therefore of the markets. And then you
Yeah.
dig into the various sectors. But I guess to your point or your question, Melissa, yeah, if there's stocks that you've done really well in, you might want to take some profits and look for other opportunities. And that's kind of what we're doing now and throughout mm-hmm. all of this. One thing I wanted to mention to you, Melissa, I did look at one company only because it's come up on a lot of various analyst radars. In other words, people are talking about this stock quite a bit and it's up your alley. It's called The Real Real.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Did you know it was publicly traded?
I did not.
Yes. The ticker is REAL. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. So from a fundamental perspective, I thought we'd just talk about the fundamentals for a second. So they've had good quarterly performance. You know, we talk about every quarter they report their financials. They've been good. And what's interesting as well, Melissa, is apparently they sell 75% of everything on their platform within 90 days. 75% of their inventory they sell within 90 days. So that tells you kind of how much demand there is for this secondhand product. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting as well, it's almost in a bit of a hedge. You know how like if the economy is doing poorly, we've seen this, more people appear to be going to Walmart versus Target, and the Walmart stock has done very, very well. So it was almost a trading down. Well, you can also liken that to like going to the Chanel store, Louis Vuitton store. There's almost a bit of a trade down effect right now that's been going on for the past year. And that's why one of the reasons why Real Real's numbers have been strong, because there's a trade down. If you're going to buy a Chanel bag for $7,000, you can buy it on Real Real for less. That's what you're going to do. And that's what one of the analysts.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever bought something on the Real Real?
No.
Okay. So I have bought in person at the Real Real before. They had a pop-up in Vegas. I don't know if they're still there, if it was just a pop-up, and they have one in New York. I never find the discount on the secondhand version enough.
Yeah.
Because like, I understand it in terms of you've had a bag, you don't wear it anymore. You want to kind of trade it in, get some value so you can go shopping with something else. But if I'm looking to buy, let's say I'm going to buy a new Chanel bag, and that's, I don't, a Chanel bag might be $10,000. Mm-hmm. And then you go and buy a secondhand one, the Real Real, and it's $7,000. I don't know if that moves the needle enough for me to get a secondhand version, but clearly if they're doing well and if they make their product that quickly, maybe it does for some people.
You might not even be their target market. We don't know. I don't know
who their target market is.
I'll find out.
I can tell you the consignment stores here, and I've gone to some, so that there's a couple in Yorkville that I've gone when I have something in my closet that's valuable, but I don't wear anymore. I don't know what to do with it. So you take it there and they buy it off you, and you have the option in a lot of these places that they can just give you cash for it, mm-hmm. or they can consign it and then you have to wait. Or you can get a credit to buy something else. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if the people on the Real Real are getting credits and just having fun shopping.
You know, I don't know their business model, but
I have to know more about their business to get excited about something like that. And I'm also curious about return policy, because we've talked about online retailers before, like Revolve, which I order a lot from. But what bothers me so much is there's so much returning that goes on. Mm-hmm. But I know what a lot of these secondhand, you can't return.
Okay.
And that would help that business.
Yeah. Or not, right? Because they apparently get a lot of sales, and it does come down to profitability, particularly being, you know, a public company. So maybe this is the better business model for them. Mm-hmm. What I also think is interesting though, Melissa, is that they are starting to implement more and more technology. So it's a bit of an AI play, because they're now able to, when they get the product to authenticate it, they take the pictures, but they're able to use AI to authenticate it very, very quickly, as AI can compare it to all these other products and make sure that it is in fact a real product. They're also able to use AI so that decreases the cost for the companies. They're also able to do it to analyze the brand, how popular is the brand, therefore how much, you know, might it go for. They can also look up through AI very, very quickly, it's all about efficiency, what the product would have sold for, so they can price it correctly, and then how popular it is, and And therefore, like kind of what to price it at. So it really decreases all of the time spent on authenticating it. Think about how many people you have to hire to do that. So as a result, the big aspect here is the stock is up 369% on a year-to-date basis.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That is wild.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Wow.
Wow. But it's another good example of if you use a product, if you did use RealReal, right? I guess my point is too, to anybody out there, and this is very much the Peter Lynch method of investing. If you use something out there, I do this for everything. I look at it, I'm like, who owns, like the Lamblin nipple cream that you said is a hack for chap lips, which I use every day now, and it does feel great. I looked up who owns it. It looks like it's some private company in Asia. Okay, because I maybe would have bought it. I don't know. But so I just be curious and look up everything that you own.
Yeah, that's so interesting about the RealReal. I'd love to understand more about what's going on there.
So what we can
doesn't
do.
Doesn't make sense to me that it would be up that much.
We can.
That's a very interesting one to look more
so
at.
So I will get analyst reports and I will read them and dissect them. And then we can understand what the business model is, return policy. And maybe we even get a retail analyst on. They can talk about RealReal and Lululemon and, you know, anything else that we want to dig into it.
Yeah.
Listen, what else was on your radar today?
Well, you know, so that will sort of, you know, segue nicely. So when I think of the RealReal, I think about kind of like recycling your clothing, put it to new purposes. So it made me think about an article that I just read about, there was this big warning about you need to throw away any black kitchen utensils, spatulas and black plastic spatulas are so dangerous and they're toxic and get rid of them. And it's funny because I heard this and I was involved in this Secret Santa thing with one of my holiday parties. They give you a list of things that you can choose. So I'm like, well, then I might as well get these pink ones, you know, because I have to throw my black plastic spatulas. Anyhow, turns out there was a correction to the article that their math was wrong. So when they did this whole thing, they were off by a factor of 10. So they said that the limit that we could consume, the issue is about flame retardants.
Okay.
In these black plastic products because they're made from other recycled black products like electronics, TVs, and phones that have flame retardants. Yes. So that comes in small, small, small amounts to your black kitchenware, and it gives off this amount of flame retardant. And it said something like the amount that you can ingest safely. Now, I don't know. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it said something that the amount you can ingest safely is like 500,000. And then they said when they did their study, they reported, oh my God, this is giving off 500,000. You got to get rid of them. But it turns out they did their calculation wrong and it was 50,000. So it wasn't pretty scary, but the company's still saying, we still stand by it. And I mean, I do get that. And I do get to your point, like, ooh, but then again, like, what are we have a huge problem with waste. What are you going to do? I was happy to see that it is being recycled at least. What are they going to do with all? We get rid of TVs and phones and everything so quickly now. You used to have a TV for years. Now it's almost something that you replace. Like I just bought a new TV. Like something people are getting used to replacing every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So at least they're recycling it.
Well, that is the issue.
I mean, I want it in my eggs.
This is it. Yeah, it's great. All these great ways to recycle. Maybe, but there's also other aspects, right? Recycle into energy and into fuel, versus products that we then, to your point, use in our kitchen that have all these other contaminants in it.
Yeah, this is something that I'm sure that RFK will be
all over
and vocal on attacking and
yeah.
Fruit Loops.
Yeah. Okay, one last thing before we go. I want to, you know, I think hopefully some of this has been encouraging for people to kind of think about and start opening up an account. It's the holiday time period. People have time to sit there amongst family, you know, they're going to be on their phones anyway. You might as well figure out how to open up an online account. You know, it's so easy. And anyway, but I want to, if you do it and you decide to invest in something, I just want to point out two things. And Melissa, you can weigh in on this. When you buy a stock, because people are like, well, how do I buy a stock? When you go in, It'll say, you know, what company do you want to buy? You put in the ticker. If you don't know the ticker, you just put the name of the company and the ticker will pop up. You pick on that. And you can either put your order in terms of number of shares, and then you just do your own calculation. If I have $10,000 or $1,000 and the stock price, you know, trades at $10, how many shares can I buy? Just do the math, right? Use your
And you don't
calculator.
have to do the math. It will do it for you.
If you put in the dollar amount that you want to buy. So if
Yeah.
so you can either put in
So
the
you put
dollar
in shares.
amount.
So sometimes, like, let's say I'm going to go buy Apple and I put in the number 10 shares. It will tell me how much it costs. And if I'm like, oh,
Correct.
not that much, you put in, like, so you don't have to be super
That's
mathematical.
fair. That's
Yeah.
fair. You can either put in your dollar amount that you want to spend or the shares that you want to, however many shares you want to buy. Be aware that there will be a commission on top of that. So just, and it'll show you what the total will be, but just be aware. And you know, sometimes when you use these online brokers, it's so cheap. It's like $4 or $5, but
Yeah.
just know that that's part of it. So it's very easy. You put in the number of shares or the dollar amount you want to spend. You've got the ticker up there because you put the company name in, and then they will ask you, do you want to do, and when I say the screen, do you want to do a market order or a limit order? A market order means you'll get the price that it's trading at that moment. And a limit order is you saying, no, this is the price I think it's worth. This is what I'm willing to pay. But you might miss.
That's what happened with me and Tesla. Remember from
Right.
the first episode, I put it in as a limit order. I didn't check it. It didn't fill. And that's why I'm not richer today.
Exactly. You
Yeah.
didn't get it filled. And fill means you got the stock. Those are some of the lingos, right? You get filled. So just be aware, you can put it in, and if it's a very liquid company and you know you want to own it, just you can easily do a market order. Most people do limit orders if you want to sit and look at it. I go back and forth. To me, it doesn't matter if I know I want to own it. Now, if it's an illiquid stock, meaning it doesn't trade a lot. That means the bid and the ask price. So bid is buy, ask is sell. The spread, like, so if I want to buy it at 25, but somebody wants to sell it to me at $30, that $5 is the spread, and that's a very wide spread. Normally it's a penny. I won't do a market order because if I did, I'd be buying it at his $30, not the 25 that I want to buy it at. Does that make sense? So just
Totally.
to see, and it'll show you what the bid ask spread is on your online brokerage account. Very easy.
That's good to know. That's good to look at.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is the holiday. We're going to wrap it for like 2 weeks till January the 3rd, I think. Something like that. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Oh, and
happy.
just to quickly end off, I will tell you that on Sunday, I did
Yes.
get the microneedling PDRN treatment. So I used the salmon DNA. It's been
Ooh.
5 days now. My skin looks nice. I mean, I'm a little peeling a little bit from the microneedling, but I'll let you know in the new year if I notice it.
Well, it looks glowy.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a nice treatment. It was 20, like I was red that night. The next day looked totally fine. Like I said, I peeled a little bit, like a little bit of skin thing, but yeah.
But again, this is the salmon DNA that's supposed to be amazing for your skin.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. All
Yay.
right.
Well, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Perfect. Okay.
Okay. Happy holidays.
Oh, bye-bye.